You're kidding. Just one shot?
They're not all zombies, Doug. How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
It's dead zone to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get dead.
Ooh, I love this song.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Hello and welcome to episode 188 of the Rotten Views podcast. I almost had to double check on that because I wasn't 100% sure if we were on episode 188 or not. But we are. We're here. So thank you again for showing up to another new episode this week. I appreciate it, everyone. I see the views going up still each and every single week. And it means a lot to me. I appreciate it. I'm glad that people actually enjoy that I do this. You know, because I'm doing this because I enjoy talking about movies. I enjoy watching movies. And the fact that other people enjoy as well means a lot to me. This week we have another new movie to watch. I've watched the trailer a couple times. I've been wanting to watch this movie for a while now. I didn't realize it was on Amazon Prime for free to watch, so I feel like a silly magoo here, but we're finally getting around to watching it, and what better, you know, timing to do than watch it for the first time ever on the podcast. But before we do get into the movie at hand for today's episode, I just want to put a little bit of business out there ahead of time for you guys. For those people that who don't make it to the end of the podcast, and if you don't, I understand. It's fine. I'm a little brokenhearted, but I'll be fine. I'll make it do with doing another couple hundred episodes for you guys, and hopefully you'll make it to the end of the episodes then. But yeah, before I get started on today's episode, if you can check me out on all social medias, at @TyphonSign, you can find me on anything and everything, pretty much from X, to Threads, to Instagram, to Facebook, to TikTok. But the main thing that we're pushing each and every single week is that YouTube channel where we've been doing lots of live streams. I actually am not going to lie. All right, at this point in time, I've taken a couple days off doing live streams because I've been actually working on thumbnails. I've been working on improving my thumbnail skills for each and every single week. And I've also been trying to get ahead of getting some videos ready because I'm going to be going on a week's vacation here soon. And I just want to have everything done ahead of time so I don't have to worry about anything. You know, I'm trying to plan ahead at least, so that's a plus. But yeah, on there we have the weekly game video every single Wednesday. We have live streams, we have shorts, we have old episodes of the podcast. And once we hit the 1,000 sub mark, we will be giving away some free artwork. So definitely go check it out. Links will be down below at @TyphonSign. Pretty much find me on anything and everything. YouTube being the main thing though. As well, if you guys are looking for something to drink, make sure to check out W Energy and use promo code ROTTENREVIEWS at checkout to save yourself 10%. You know, it saves you a little bit of money, gives me a little bit of money in my pocket. We all help each other out, so definitely go check them out as well. Anyways, back to the topic on hand today. Today's episode, we are watching Mom and Dad from 2018, horror suspense movie. So, as always, for any new listeners, if you guys don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in 2018, feel free to pause the episode now. Go check it out on Amazon Prime via Prime, or maybe it's at your local, I would say, DVD rental store, but I don't even know if those are a thing anymore, so you probably won't find it there at all. But you know, you can find it somewhere streaming online other than Prime, I'm sure. Maybe, I don't really know. But if you want to do that, you can. But if not, maybe just, you know, sit back, relax, listen to me talk about the movie, and maybe I'll either make you really want to see this movie or make you not want to see it at all. Those are the two options, really. So I just want to put that out there to begin with. For anyone that's new, just that way I don't hear about, you know, giving spoilers, because I'm going to be talking about this movie from start to finish and hitting all the points in between that catch my interest. So yeah, I'm going to be spoiling a lot of things that happen in this movie, so you've been warned, just so you're aware. So for this movie, it has a 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 74% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 59% on Metacritic. Apparently 55% of Google users like this film. The description read on Google is: a teenage girl and her little brother try to survive a wild 24 hours during which a mass hysteria of unknown origins causes parents to turn violently on their own children.
Just reading the description of this really makes me want to watch The Crazies, even the original or the remake. Either one works, because I'm a big fan of The Crazies, and it sounds a lot like The Crazies, so I'm assuming I'm going to like this movie. This movie is distributed by Momentum Pictures and Vertigo Films. It apparently had a budget of $4 million, was released January 19th, 2018, and apparently had a box office of $286,000, which is a little bit painful. I ain't gonna lie though, I also like when movies are easy to talk about the writers and directors, because it's the same person. The person who was the writer and director for this is Brian Taylor. Brian, we got a fellow Brian here. Hopefully he's got some other good movies in his books. He's best known for also being the writer for 2006 Crank. He was also the writer for Crank 2 from 2009, Crank 2 High Voltage. He was also the writer and creator of 18 episodes of Happy. I love that TV show. That TV show is so good. I might do some mini episodes on Happy. I know what I talk about doing a lot of mini episodes and I want to do more content, but that's a show I would love to revisit, and I would love to revisit the comic book series as well. And is he actually the creator of the comic book series? I really don't know who's the creator of that comic book series, but I really enjoy that comic book series, so now I gotta look that up now because I really am curious. So yeah, everything that I see online says that Happy was created by Grant Morrison. That's what I remember. That sounds much more familiar than Brian Taylor, so maybe he's just the creator of the TV show, even though the TV show is based off of the comic book series. Eh, whatever. It is what it is. Like always, we like to talk about some of the people that are starring in the movie, and we're going to mention Nicolas Cage being one of the leads, best known for being in movies that I enjoy, Gone in 60 Seconds, Willy's Wonderland, Color Out of Space, Ghost Rider. We'll put Ghost Rider up there. It's a horrible comic book movie, but that was back then before Marvel was doing really good comic book movies, so we'll take it nonetheless. It's a Ghost Rider movie. I like Ghost Rider, so we'll go with it. Next, we're going to talk about Selma Blair, who plays Kendra, I believe it was her name in the movie. Kendall plays Kendall. I knew it started with a K at least, so that's something, right? I mean, she's best known for being in Cruel Intentions from 1999, but the thing we're going to mention is she's Liz from Hellboy 1 and 2 from 2004 and 2008 with Ron Perlman. We don't need to talk anything else. Hellboy's great. I love Hellboy as well. This movie's got a lot of comic book related stuff in it. Now, I'm enjoying it a lot. Also, like honorable mention for the third place that we're going to talk about, Lance Henriksen. What more do you need to know? It's Lance, best known for being in Pumpkinhead, because Pumpkinhead's a really good horror movie. If you guys don't like it, and I don't know what to tell you, shame on you, but you should go check it out if you haven't watched it. He's also Bishop from, you know, the Alien series as well. And he's in that Stone Cold movie I did for the podcast a while ago where he was a biker leader. That's kind of interesting as well. So definitely go check that one out too. The tagline for this movie is, "Sometimes they just want to kill you." I mean, that's, I guess, a love-hate relationship between a parent and a child. You know, you love them to death, but some days you're just like, "Would please go to sleep and stay in bed." And a fun little fact of trivia before we get the movie started. Apparently, Nicolas Cage said this was his favorite movie that he had filmed in 10 years. So I'm not sure, you know, now, hopefully, like, Color Out of Space and maybe Willy's Wonderland are nudging this one out. But if not, that's fine, too. But anyways, we're going to get started on the movie at hand. Make sure, like I said earlier, if you don't want to be spoiled, make sure to pause the episode here and go, you know, check out the movie for yourself. Or, you know, just, you know, listen to me talk about it, and it'll either make you really want to go see the movie, or it'll just make you want to, you know, not touch this movie at all. But, well, wait and see. Hopefully you guys will enjoy this. Hopefully you guys will stick around for the full episode. And we're going to get started on the movie right now.
Presents Saturday Night at the Movies, the television series which each week brings you the finest in recent motion pictures. Tonight...
Hey, can I go to a movie with Riley tonight?
With Riley?
Your grandparents are coming for dinner tonight, remember?
Awesome! Grandpa telling his disgusting Vietnam stories.
Take my advice, don't ever have kids.
Everything just revolves around you, doesn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
What's the rush today? It's like you're waiting for a buffet.
What's going on? Is that McKenna's mom?
Multiple reports are now coming in of parents murdering their own children.
Listen to me. We have to get out of the house before Mom and Dad come home. Dad?
Look at this! your right foot out. You do the hook, hook in, you.
Mommy, Mommy's here. Are you two all right?
We're not coming out, okay? You have to leave.
You're going to hold on to the door! This is a really great idea, honey.
I forgot your parents.
That was tonight.
The movie started out with a bunch of intro credits that I don't know any of these productions, like Armory Productions and like Fizz Productions or something along those lines. Anyways, then the movie just cuts to some static coming through a radio, and we see a blurry shot of a mom just changing the radio as we see her kid in the back in a car seat. You know, it's a younger kid. But then we see the mom getting out of the van, and the van's parked on the train tracks as the train's starting to come towards it, and we can just assume what happens next. And then we just see the suburb area and the classic font of mom and dad just come up. It's really actually nice font, and I really enjoy it. It sets the mood for the movie. And then we see the intro credits, and we see still shots of Selma Blair, and we see Nicolas Cage and everyone else lead wise in the movie as well. Then we see a daughter laying in bed talking to her boyfriend on her phone. And then we cut to what I believe is the boyfriend probably riding his bike and just cutting back in between time. I believe the girl on the phone is Carly, and then her little brother Josh walks through her room like, "Mom tells her to get your ass out of bed and get up already," and then she gets all pissed off, and then she throws like the family picture down the staircase. And we just see the happy Nicolas Cage family, and we have that little white picket fence style happy family where the daughter's sitting on her phone at the kitchen table with the mom making breakfast, and you know, just everything looks happy. And then we see, you know, Nicolas Cage, Brent, and his, you know, button up shirt with his tie on. Oh, it's not even the mom making breakfast. Apparently they have a maid by the looks of it, an Asian maid, and she's making the breakfast for everyone as the mom's just sitting there, you know, having her coffee. And Brent's like making fun of the accident that happened on the news with his kid, and he's, you know, playing with some ketchup in a toy car. And Kendall's like, "Ah, that's a little bit too early, don't you think? It's not too funny." And then we see Carly being like, "Hey, can I go to the movies with my boyfriend Damon afterwards?" Apparently the mom says no, because she's like, "You know, your grandparents are coming for dinner tonight, so you haven't seen them for a while, so you can go see a movie with your boyfriend whenever you want." And then Carly's like, "Oh, great, so I can listen to you and grandma bitching the whole time. Ah, this is going to be a great family dinner tonight." Of course, you got your whole family dynamic, you know, the little brother's a little pain in the ass, the dad, for some reason, wants to know if Aunt Jeannie, I guess, is having her baby yet. And then Carly's all pissed off because she's like, "Yeah, great, Aunt Jeannie's gonna have her baby, and then you're gonna no show for dinner, but I can't no for show for dinner for the visit my boyfriend at the movies." Then we see a text message on the screen pop up asking about money, and then we see like a cut scene, and it seems like Carly might be stealing money from her parents' house, maybe. And the mom's driving Carly to school, and she's like, "Can you mind not Facebooking? This is the only quality time we get together in the car." And Carly's just like, "Yeah, well, whatever, your typical bratty teen. I'm so looking forward to these days." And Kendall, the mom, being like, "You know, we used to be best friends, Carly, but now you're just thinking about us. I don't even know what you're thinking about anymore, actually, to be honest with you, because you don't talk to me anymore." The mom's feeling very depressed because she doesn't want to be shot out of her child's life. And then Carly, just being the little brat that she is, just, you know, flips out on her mom, being like, "It's not my fault you don't have a life, Mom." Then we come back to Brent, Nicolas Cage, you know, have like a tickle fight with his son on the couch, and then apparently the dad wins, and then the kid hits him with a ball, and he just looks back at him, and he looks all pissed off, and then he just starts laughing about it. Like, "You little brat." But I've also noticed that the Chinese maid has her daughter there as well, who looks like she's a teenager as well, and she's like helping clean the dishes. And Brent's like, "Yeah, see you next week, you know, have a good weekend." Then when Brent's leaving the house and getting ready to go to his car, he's looking down the street, and the suburb looks very quiet and a little bit eerie as the music's starting to pick up a bit. And then we might have a flashback as a young Nicolas Cage, Brent, is driving a Trans Am while a girl's sitting on his lap, and he's motorboating her by the looks of it. I'm assuming it's supposed to be him in his younger days, maybe with the mom, I don't know. Then we have a classroom setting, and this little white girl is listening to some very hardcore rap music that I'm not going to even remote say the lyrics from. And the teacher comes over and takes one the headphones out, and he's like, "Hand it over." And she's like, "All right, whatever." Gives him his phone, and he puts a the headphones in, and he gets a little bit of a shock. He's like, you kids need church. You definitely need church. Then for some reason back at the house, we see Josh is still just, you know, running around the house playing with his airplane or some sort of toy, and the maid is just, you know, hammering some meat on the cutting board, and she's just kind of like staring off as she's doing it. Like, she's going to go crazy soon, probably. Then we see Josh outside playing, and some crows are like pecking at something, and the next thing you know, we see him in the garage where we see that Trans Am again, and he's got a box, like a shoe box, and he's got something inside of it that's making some sounds. So then he goes inside to get some Fruit Loops to go feed to the little thing that's in the box, which is now sitting inside the back of the Trans Am, which is not going to be good if it wrecks the upholstery, but we're going to leave it at that. Then we assume that we cut to the next day where he goes to check in the backseat of the car, and whatever inside the box is probably dead because we hear flies just flying around, and then we hear the garage door opening up, and Brent's got some golf clubs. He's, Josh, what's going on? And then he looks inside the car, and then he starts yelling. He's like, why does it smell like something died in my Firebird? Then we see Kendall and one of her friends are sitting down at a table at like a food court, and they're like, we're down, we're just old, we can't do this yoga stuff anymore, we're not hot and we're not a skinny bitch anymore, we just gotta do what our age tells us to do and live our life how we need to live it, I guess. And then this new mom is a little bit annoyed at her daughter Riley because her daughter is apparently a very attractive lady. She's like, I really can't wait for my daughter to start to be ugly and her tits start to sag. It's like, all right, you're a little bit conceited, I guess, a little bit shallow. Hopefully you die first. Then we cut to the homeroom teacher guy again, who was listening to the bad rap music, and his phone goes off in his class, and one of the kids has to get sent to the office. Then the homeroom phone goes off again, yet another kid needs to be sent to the office. And then Carly's looking around, and we can hear some sirens happening, and she looks out the window, and there's a bunch of cop cars showing up as well, and she's like, so what's going on outside? And the homeroom teacher doesn't say a damn word. She's like, just back to class, let's get back to the assignment. And then we see Damon, who's doing his test of some sort, I forget what kind of test it is, and he breaks his pencil, so he's gotta go up to the lady washing the room, ask for a new pencil. And he's like, what's their problem? And we look outside the glass doors, and there's a bunch of people, adults, standing out there, and she's like, oh, that's their problem, we still got a couple hours left. There's just like a bunch of carnivores waiting for a buffet because it's a bunch of kids taking tests, so, you know, we can tell the atmosphere of the movie slowly starting to build. Then we find out that Carly and Riley are friends, and Riley's the girl that was listening to the really bad music in class. Anyways, they're in the washroom together, and of course there's some drugs related. Riley's like, we're gonna get fucked up. And then the fire alarm or school alarm starts going off, and then everyone needs to get evacuated out of school. And that's when we see one of the parents like rushing one of the kids by the looks of it, and then we see everyone just up at the fence as the school buses are already there, and there's parents already there ready to get their kids, and it's getting very chaotic at this moment. Then we see Damon handing in his paper. The lady's like, so you're done? There's still like 20 minutes left. You know, this score is pretty important to your schooling. He's like, I've done a lot of practice tests, it's fine. And then he's leaving, and all those adults are just standing at the glass door. By the time he goes to unlock his bike from the bike rack, all those adults are gone. Then we see all the parents like trying to push through the fencing of the school, and they're freaking out. They're trying to pull the kids, and the homeroom teacher's like, what the hell's going on? Why are the buses here? It's not like a bomb squad's going off. Like, what the hell's going on right now? Then this kid, Evan, goes to run to the fence to try and climb more of the fence to get to his mom. And then the homeroom teacher and a bunch of other teachers are trying to grab him to pull him back over to the fence to their side. And then next thing we know, we see a hand with a key in it, and it's just stabbing someone. We assume it's Evan getting stabbed, and we just see blood going all over the place. And then the adults all start running over the fence and like rioting the whole place. And then we just see a whole riot of kids and adults running everywhere. We see Carly and Riley running off to hide in a certain spot. But then we see like one parent grabbing a garbage bag and trying to choke out their kid with it. And then there's a couple other parents like taking their kids down on the field and just start wailing on them. It's a very intense movie. A lot of things going on right now at this exact moment. And then we see the kids, like some kids grouping together to fight off their parents. And there's a security guard or an officer that's literally pounding the face in of a mom because she's gone psycho. Or maybe he's gone psycho. I don't know which one's gone psycho. cycle at this point in time, actually, to be honest with you. And we see Damon showing up at his home. He's waving to his neighbor, Miss Beasley. He's like, hey, where's Amanda? And she's just sitting there kind of looking all weird and confused and dazed off. She's like, he's inside. And he's just like, okay. So then he goes inside and finds his dad is an alcoholic, clearly, because there's booze and beer cans all over the place. And he's cleaned up the mess after his dad, who's apparently, like, passed out on the couch by the looks of it. So then Damon goes to take the garbage out to the trash can. When he's out at the trash can, we hear some very weird screeching sounds, and he hears it as well, and he's looking around. And it kind of sounds like a dinosaur or a demon of some sort, but we're not sure what it is. By the time he gets back inside, the TV's all staticky, and his dad is no longer asleep on the couch. And then out of nowhere, his dad just comes out of like another room and just like backhands him. He's like, what the hell is going on, Dad? That's when he's like, please don't do this again, Dad. You know, it's your son, Damon. Please don't do it. And then the dad picks up a glass alcohol bottle, and he's like, have you had enough of that shit already, Dad? And then the dad actually breaks the bottle and slices his son across the forearm, and we see blood go all over the place, all over the white curtains and everything. So then the son has to try and push the dad back, and he actually pushes the table in front of him, and then dad like lunges over the table and accidentally impales himself in the throat with the bottle. Very bloody, to be honest. Then we see Kendall getting back in the car, and there's either a flyer on her car or a ticket of some sort. I wasn't able to really see what it was. And then she's opened up her wallet to look for her wallet, and we've come to find out all her cash is gone. And she's just like, yeah, my little angel stole my money out of my wallet. Shocking. And for some reason, Kendall has a Cards versus Humanity card inside of her purse. And the next thing we know, we see her having a flashback with some other guy who apparently doesn't have any kids. And he's really holding her hand and holding on to her. And I'm assuming there might be a little bit of tension there, a little bit. And then we see Riley and Carly driving away from the school. And a car goes speeding by them like a cop car with the sirens on. And Carly's all freaking out about it. And Riley's like, don't worry about it. World War Z just broken out. I don't think people are going to complain that we left school a little bit early. We are now in Riley's home, and we can tell that she comes from a very, very rich family because this house looks goddamn amazing. So then while Riley is getting stoned because she found a joint somewhere, Carly is watching the news to see what's going on. She's like, you know, can you come take a look at what's going on here? Because this is kind of fucked up, to be honest with you. Anyways, Carly's trying to get Riley's attention because what's going on in the news story on the TV. And Riley decides to walk upstairs, and then she finds her mom, like, the room's destroyed, and her mom's makeup's all messed up because she's been crying a lot. And Riley's like, so mom, you okay? And then on TV, we have Dr. Oz talking about how mother pigs will kill baby pigs a lot, and that's apparently what's going on right now. Like, the moms are trying to kill the kids, but it looks like it's the moms and the dad. And then we hear some sounds coming from upstairs, and then Carly starts walking upstairs. She's like, Riley, you okay up there? That's when Carly slowly makes her way up the stairs, and she looks around the corner, and that's when we find Riley's mom choking her out with a belt, and we see Riley's arm goes lifeless. And then the mom just looks up and she's like, hey kiddo, how's it going today, huh? And then we see Kendall at the hospital, and then her sister just shows up, and then a nurse is putting her in a wheelchair. We see this bigger guy, and they're like, hey, are you the father? He's like, no, he's the boyfriend, actually. It's complicated, don't worry about it. Then we see the sister, Jenna, giving birth, and, you know, the baby is born, everything's fine, but apparently, Jenna's, you know, starting to snap a little bit, because she's holding her child a little bit too hard, but luckily, Kendall's able to get the baby free, and, you know, Jenna's just, you know, trying to fight everyone off because she's gone crazy because the TV in the room's gone staticky, and apparently nobody can hold her back because once you go crazy in this new mode, you get really goddamn strong for some damn reason. Let me see Carly outside the fancy neighborhood that Riley lives in, and one of the neighbors has a baseball bat, and it's freaking Carly out, so she goes run, and the next thing, you know, Damon's there, and he's like, I got you, don't worry, this guy's not after us because we're not part of his family, so I guess that's the boundary lines. I don't know what the boundary line is, to be honest with you. Have you seen Nicolas Cage, his character Brent, asleep at his desk, snoring away, as I'm not sure if he's dreaming of sex or sex is playing on his computer? And then the phone wakes him up, and he's like, I'm not taking any calls right now at this moment, to be honest with you. And then we see Kendall with the newborn baby, and a nurse comes up. She's like, so you're the sister, right? And she's like, yeah, is my sister okay? She's like, yeah, yeah, she's sedated. Don't worry about it. But we need the baby. We need to protect the child. So can you just hand that over? And she's got an officer with her as well. And she's like, yeah, you're going to need to hand that baby over right now, actually, so the nurse can handle this. And then we see the incubation room where we see a bunch of parents, mainly all the dads, just staring through the glass at all the babies just in their little incubators or whatever they're called. I don't know. And then Kendall calls her maid there, and she's like, so is my son okay? Is Josh okay? So yeah, I made him lunch and he's hiding somewhere around here, not sure where though. So then Carly and the boyfriend go inside and she talks to Sonny. She's like, so where's Josh? He's like up in his room. And then she's been mopping the whole time. So then she goes to rinse the mop out and it's just covered in blood, and we assume that she killed her own daughter inside the kitchen because she's freaking out. She's like, I can't get the blood out of the damn floor. I really gotta not try and do accents because it's gonna get me canceled really goddamn fast if I do. Anyways, Carly goes upstairs to Josh's bedroom. She automatically finds him right away because she knew automatically he's gonna be hiding under his bed. And it's Jamie still with his Ninja Turtle mask on. At least the headband kind of thing on. So then we see Damon. He was, you know, looking at the TV as the news article's going on. News reporter, I mean. And we see the maid leaving, and then Brent shows up. And he walks in. He's like, what the hell are you doing here? Why are you in my house? You can't be here. He's like, I don't want to talk to you about it. You're not supposed to be here, especially if my daughter's here with you and nobody else is in the house. Anyways, Brent's having a whole conversation with David about how, you know, when he was a kid, who wasn't that long ago, things were a lot different. Now the kids nowadays see everything on the internet. And then, of course, Josh runs down and be like, hey, Dad. And then Brent just turns around and goes crazy and starts lunging at him. Damon tries to, you know, tackle him to the ground, but, you know, he gets knocked out. And then we see them running away. And, of course, Brent's, like, running after him. But there's this toy truck that's left on the ground that we saw earlier in the film. And Brent steps on it and goes flying. Anyways, they make it to the basement. And then we see it pop up 3 weeks ago. And there's, like, construction happening in their basement. And we just see Brent in his basement making his own pool table, trying to get everything level so everything sits properly. And it's just a process of him trying to make it as extremely perfect as possible. And then Kendall comes down in the basement and apparently spooks him. He's like, can you stop scaring me like that? And she's like, so you bought a pool table and you don't even like pool? And Christmas is coming up? Like, why are you starting to build a man cave? He's like, I'm not building a man cave. I'm just building my private space. He goes on. He's like, you know, I'm working 6 days a week. I'm trying to pay for this damn place. And it's a goddamn obstacle course. Get from my bedroom through the kitchen to the freaking front door. One of these days, I'm going to trip on a toy and go face first in the emergency room. You know, I know the whole house is like a family room, but maybe we need like an adult room and a kiddie room. That way I don't go crazy. And then we see him taking a sledgehammer to his new pool table while singing the Hokey Pokey within the whole process. It's actually a pretty good scene. I like this scene. That then, as he's out of breath, he's like, you know what, honey? You're right. I do hate pool. Are you happy now? And there's a bunch of him, you know, thinking about how he was a kid and how he had a lot of energy and how it was all about sex and video games and, you know, doing fun things, and how he hates his job and how he hates that he's getting old, how he's always tired and he never has enough time to do what he wants to do. And, you know, it's just the general downfall of the adult, I guess. And there's like kind of a little bonding moment between Kendall and Brent, and how, you know, they used to be active, you know, they used to have dreams and aspire to do things, and now they're just mom and dad. And Kendall is, you know, still freaking out, driving home, trying to get home, because by the looks of it, she's the only one that's not wanting to kill her kids. And while she's driving home, there's like a mom rollerblading while pushing her kid in a stroller, and she literally just chucks the kid into the street, and Kendall has to drive around her. She does miss her, thankfully. Anyways, you see Kendall showing up to the house. She's sitting outside in the car a little bit. She's, you know, gripping the steering wheel, and then she finally makes her way into the house, and that's when she sees Brett finally waking up from, you know, laying on the floor. He's like, I felt better. I don't know what happened to me. She's like, well, you're home early, Brent. And he's like, well, you're home early too. And guess what? Kids are in the basement. And then we see Kendall talking to the kids through the basement door. And Kendall's, you know, you guys okay? And then Carly starts breaking down. She's like, yeah, I took the money out of your wallet, Mom. I took the money out of your purse. And I'm really sorry for everything I've done. Please don't kill me. And then we have Kendall being like, so you need to unbolt the door, okay? Come out of the basement. Okay, kids? And Carly's like, no, Mom, we can't do that. You guys gotta leave the house. You and Dad gotta leave the house. We're not coming out if you guys are still out there. And then Brent just comes up, banging on the door, cursing and swearing at them to open the door because the mom asked. And then he just sits on the floor and starts crying. And then Kendall goes into the laundry room, maybe. I'm not sure picture where he opens up the toolbox and gets a sawzall, and Brent's like, that's not going to cut through the door. And Kendall's like, yeah, sure will. It's a sawzall. It'll cut through everything. And we just see her, like, chipping away at the door. And Brent's like, screw this. You know, I gotta get things done. I'll get things done. And then he walks away into another room and finds something else. And then we cut back to Kendall, and she's, like, cutting a square in the door. But anyways, then Brent goes to open up his like, little gun box, and inside the gun is gone. And next thing we hear a couple gunshots, and then in the basement, we see little Josh holding the gun as some smoke's coming out of it. And then we see Kendall holding her arm. It's like, do you have an excuse for this? You went all in on the midlife crisis, didn't you? You got a goddamn handgun? I just got shot by our goddamn kid. And she gives him a whole lecture on, like, how one in five, you know, accidents that happen at home between the kid and the parent are, like, gun related. And he's like, you know, it was in a locked case. I thought it was gonna be fine. And she's like, well, what's the combination? Well, it was Josh's birthday, okay? And then we see Josh in his underwear opening up the case, playing around the gun because he's all excited because he found a handgun. And then we see Brent going for the medical equipment. He'd be like, yo, maybe we should try and get the bullet out of your hand, out of your arm first. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're not a medical technician. Just leave the bullet in. She's like, well, I just don't want to get infected, okay? I was just looking out for you, okay? Okay. And then the kids hear the parent or Kendall screaming, and then Josh's like, so do you think that's out there hurting her? And Carter's like, no, I don't think so. I think they only want to hurt us. And he's like, don't worry though, we're gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be just fine. And then we cut to upstairs where we see Brent pulling out the stove and starting to play with the gas line that's hooked up to the stove and using like a garden hose attached to it and some duct tape. I'm assuming he's either gonna blow up the house or try and smoke them out somehow. I don't know what's gonna happen here. Then we see Kendall taking the other end of the garden hose and like poking it through the screen window in the basement and then putting duct tape all around and then putting some dirt on top of the window to try and, you know, keep the hose from moving because now they're just going to shoot all the gas into the basement, even though, like, I don't know why the kids didn't think about going out the back window of the basement and just trying to find somewhere else to hide, knowing that their parents are inside that home the whole time trying to kill them. But, you know, that's just my thought, I guess. Then we see Carly up against the door, and she's hearing her mom put duct tape all over the holes there in the door, and she's curious about it. She starts poking her finger through and finding that it's duct tape. And we just see Kendall on the other side of a butcher knife, and then the butcher knife goes through the door. Carly runs down the stairs in a panic because you just saw a giant-ass butcher knife come through the door. And then we see Brent and Kendall sitting on the floor in the kitchen, being like, so I wonder how long it's gonna take? And Kendall's like, yeah, I'm sure we'll hear them coughing and puking soon enough. It probably won't take that long. Oh, I also found out why there's a giant mess in the kitchen. Sunny, or whatever the maid was, killed a kid inside the kitchen. She's out in the dumpster back outside. And we see Carly trying to keep Josh awake because he's starting, you know, fall asleep due to the fumes of the gas. She's like, you know what? I don't know what's going on here, Josh, but you need to stay awake. I'm not going to let anything happen to you, but we got to try and get out of here. That's the only way we're going to, you know, save ourselves from mom and dad. I'm not sure what they're doing or why this is all happening, but we need to get out of here. And we see Carly at the top of the stairs with Josh, and she's playing with a whole box of matches. I'm not sure what her game plan is at this point in time, because I'm assuming that's going to make things go kaboom. So Carla's actually setting up some kind of trap and, you know, using some duct tape that she has on her own and a bunch of matches and setting them up so they're at the bottom of the door. So when Brent or Kendall break through that front door of the basement, it's actually going to light the matches and then the whole thing's going to probably blow up, I assume. We see Kendall and Josh starting to go through like this vent system that's on the house to try and escape out. And that's when we then see Brent using the sawzall to start cutting down the door as Kendall's in the kitchen looking at like a meat hammer, tenderizer, and a giant butcher knife. This vent system that Carly and Josh are going through, it's kind of like a crawl space. I'm not really too sure what kind of crawl space it is though, but it looks like it's almost like an attic crawl space almost, which I was right because they somehow went from the basement into the attic because they then open the attic door and they're looking down. And then we see Brent has cut up enough space to undo the lock in the basement door, and then he opens the door and we just see the matches go off and we see a giant ball of fire just hitting him in the face and knocking him backward. And then we see Kendall waking up off of the floor with a bunch of little, you know, drywall debris all over the place and some insulation and whatnot. And she's like, yeah, this is not a good day for me at all. So then we hear Carly jumping out of the attic, and of course, Kendall hears her, so she walks to like the front living room area and she's looking up at the railing. And that's when they make eye contact with each other, and then Carly has to go run into another room to try and barricade herself as her mom's running after her to try and kill her. We have a flashback scene where Carly's all sad because she gets caught by her mom while she's trying on her mom's makeup in front of the mirror. And Kendall's like, yeah, no, it's okay, honey. You know, it's understandable. You're a little kid, you know. You want to try mommy's makeup? It's fine. And then she actually helps her put the makeup on her. Then during that heartfelt little flashback scene, we then see Kendall breaking through the door and literally attacking Carly. She misses her and hits that big mirror that the flashback was part of. And then Carly starts biting Kendall's arm. And then they start running to another room. And that's when Damon's finally awake again. And now he's trying to help Carly as well. Then they're both able to get Kendall into like this locked in like walk-in closet area. And they're both screaming. It's like, holy shit, why is she so goddamn strong? And by the sounds of it, it's like the first time maybe that Damon's meeting Carly's parents. Because Carly starts laughing. She's like, it's usually not this bad, to be honest with you. And then they both start laughing at each other because they're having a cute little moment. Because now Kendall's finally stopped, you know, fighting in the closet. And then out of nowhere, Josh is like, so where's mom? And then out of nowhere, Kendall's arm just comes through the closet door with a wire hanger trying to scratch whoever she can. And Josh is just screaming for his mom to stop before she actually hurts somebody. But that's when then we see the hanger actually go through Damien's cheek and out his mouth. And that looks really, really painful. Damien's able to get the hanger out of his mouth, but then out of nowhere, Kendall comes out with the little like meat tenderizer hammer, hits him in the side of the face. He falls over the balcony, hits the railing of the stairs, and then falls face first on the floor. And then next thing we know, we see Brent getting up with the Sawzall, and he's like, Sawzall, Sawzall. And he's burnt kind of looking, and he's also got Fruit Loops like stuck on the side of his face, and he looks like he's had a really rough night. And then we see Carly and Josh like stuck in the kitchen, and they're trying to like talk to the parents, and Carly's like, yeah, I'm really sorry, I love you guys, I don't want anything to happen to us. And the Kendall's just like, you know, yeah, I heard it all over. And then there's like a bunch of flashback scenes of everything happening. And then the doorbell rings. And then Kendall's like, shit, I forgot. Your parents are coming. And Brent's like, ah, that's tonight, huh? Damn. So then Brent goes to open the door and he's like, mom, dad, listen, gotta talk to you a minute. And then the mom starts pepper spraying him in the face. And then his dad starts kicking his ass because apparently parents of all ages like to beat up their kids. And apparently I forgot all about this. Brent's dad, Nicolas Cage's dad, is Lance Hendrickson. I forgot he was in this movie. And then Brent's like, oh, dad, you killed me. He's like, oh, I missed your gut. Stop being a crybaby. And then Josh yells, grandpa, please don't hurt my dad anymore. I just want everyone to get along, please. So now we see Josh running around the house as Brent is chasing after him, kind of making like screeching dog sounds of some sort. And then we see Kendall, who looks like she's finally coming back to reality and realizing what's going on and how everything's wrong. And she's trying to calm down Brent's mom. And Josh runs and hides into the Firebird of all places. And that's when then Brent grabs a pickaxe and he's like looking up at him for the tea roof. He's like, please dad, don't do it, please don't, please, you're gonna really kill me if you realize what you're about to do. And then we have a flashback to where Brent's talking to Josh and saying how the Firebird was like a car that his dad had, and he stole the car one night to hook up with one of his girlfriends, and then he told the whole damn thing. And Josh's like, oh cool. He's like, yeah, your grandpa didn't think it was that cool though. We see the pickaxe going for the T-roof, and then we see Josh starting up the car, and then Brent's trying to go through the passenger window, and that's when Henderson comes through and starts like stabbing his son in the back of the leg. And then we see them both fighting inside the car. Brent starts calling his dad a dinosaur, and they start cursing and swearing at each other. And then his dad's like, I fought in wars, what have you done, little punk? And then we cut back to the kitchen where Kendall smacks Brent's mom in the face with the meat tenderizer hammer because she called her a whore. And then we see Brent driving the Trans Am through the garage door. The dad goes flying, Lance Henderson goes flying onto the roof of the car, and as they crash into another car. And then next thing you know, we just see Kendall holding the meat tenderizer hammer outside. And then nowhere, Damon just come through and I think smacks her with a hammer in the face or a shovel. And then we see Brent and Kendall waking up in the basement tied up together around a post as, you know, the three kids are just standing there, you know, watching, wondering what the hell's going to happen next. And we see Brent and Kendall both trying to plead with the kids to let them free, to let them loose from the post. And nothing's really working. So then Brent starts freaking out, being like, come on, let me out of Let me go. And then he starts, you know, trying to break free, but nothing's working. Then we have Kendall, you know, just saying, you know, how much she loves them and how she wants to care for them. And then Brent starts to talk, and then it just cuts out, and we see the telephone of mom and dad, and the outro credits start to play, and that's the end of the movie. I gotta say, I really enjoy the concept of this movie. It's a lot like The Crazies. The only thing that's changed from The Crazies is the parents killing their kids. And it doesn't matter how old the parents are either. So if it's a grandparents, they'll be killing their kids. And they'll maybe go after their grandkids. I don't really think it goes that far. I think it's just parents killing their child for whatever reason. It's a unique concept. It has some interesting effects in it. And I do like the cast. I'm not going to lie. I wish Lance Anderson was in it a little bit longer. Like I said, I totally forgot he was even in the damn movies. So that was good. And then, it's just a fun movie. Nothing super amazing, but on the Rotten scale, I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10. Definitely highly recommend you check it out. It's on Amazon Prime, so definitely go, if you guys have a Prime account, go check it out on there. You don't need the Shudder add-on at all, so definitely recommend at least watching it once. And I personally like Nicolas Cage movies. I don't expect anything amazing from Nicolas Cage at all, but I do enjoy a good Nicolas Cage movie. So now we got to pick what we're going to be watching next week. For next week, we're going back to Tubi, because I want to start watching some more movies on Tubi again, because I enjoyed the app a lot. For this one, we're gonna watch a horror comedy. It's from 1988 for an hour and 20 minutes. We are watching Sleepaway Camp 2, Unhappy Campers. I haven't seen this one in a while, so I'm looking forward to watching this one again. Hopefully you guys will check it out as well. Like I said, Tubi's free app that you can download on pretty much anything and everything. Go check it out there before next week's episode, and I will talk to you guys all later. But before that, make sure to check out the outro band, Toronto-based horror band Blood Opera. All their links will be down below as well, but they're pretty much on anything and everything. Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Spotify being the main thing that you can probably check out all their music on. And they have a new album out, so definitely go show them some love and some support, and I highly appreciate it. If you guys check out all my social media links down below as well, at Typhon Sign, pretty much on anything and everything, X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Threads, and the main thing, like I said earlier, being the YouTube channel. We've got the weekly game video coming out every Wednesday. We have old episodes of the podcast,
live streams, as well as various shorts going up there as well. Until next time, I'll talk to you guys all later. Peace.